from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines, and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Yeah, it sure is. Good morning, everybody, and a very happy Wednesday to you. I'm Kyle Madsen. He's James Hamm. The sponsor of this program is Jiffy Lube. Head to JiffyLube.com for more information today. Good morning. Hello. James, you are at the crib still, battling through it. This is your flu game, so I expect our best show today.
Heck yeah, man. Why not? Let's throw all caution to the wind and go for it.
Oh, heck yeah, man, I guess.
Flu game. Heck yeah.
The Michael Jordan of Sacramento Kings beat writers, James Hamm. Check him out at thekingsbeat.com. You were down at the DeMar DeRozan presser yesterday. You, the assembled Kings media, assembled Kings personnel to watch the introduction of perhaps the biggest name free agent acquisition. And I'm going to, you know what, let me pause right there. I'm going to call this a free agent acquisition. I'm going to call it a free agent signing. I'm going to call it a signing. That's what I'm going to do, okay?
Call it what you want, Kyle.
Thank you. I'm going to. I understand that this was a trade. That is on the table. I get it. The Kings moved Harrison Barnes and an unprotected first round pick swap to the Spurs, and then they moved Chris Duarte and a couple of seconds and some cash to the Bulls, and then they acquired DeMar DeRozan in that swap. I get it. It's there. I'm calling it a signing. So if anybody has a problem with that, go listen to something else. Okay.
That's fine, Kyle, because I honestly believe at some point we do have to give them some credit for this being a free agent signing, because that's what it was. The way that they courted him, the way that they brought him in, this was not a standard trade. This was having to roll out the red carpet and convince somebody that you're the right team for them at the right time. And that's what they did with DeRozan. I thought it was interesting that there were a lot of either fans or Kings employees or employees of like local businesses there. I'm not sure, but it reminded me of like 1970s television where this episode is filmed in front of a live studio audience. And you're like, okay, like there was a laugh track, man. It was very strange.
What an odd thing. But I guess, I mean, it deserves a little bit of pomp and circumstance just given what free agency has meant in Sacramento forever. I've been in Sacramento since 2008. Oh, my God, that's so long ago. 2008, I started doing media in Sacramento in 2011. And every year free agency was, well, Kings are off the table. Who can they trade for? Who's available? What's the draft look like? Like, that's always been what it is. And the reason we're going to call this a signing moving forward, and we're going to get into the press conference here in a second, but the reason we're calling this a signing is because DeMar DeRozan was a free agent. This is not a player who was under contract at the Bulls, and the Bulls said, oh, God, we got to shed some salary. Let's get rid of him. And the Kings went, oh, us. Like, he was a free agent. He wanted to come to Sacramento. He would not have facilitated a sign and trade if he did not want to go to Sacramento. He would have signed with whatever team he wanted to sign with.
Well, that and Kyle, I can tell you, like, the deal was worked out, like, on Thursday or Friday, right? They had the parameters of a deal in place where Harrison Barnes would go to San Antonio and Chris Duarte would go to the Bulls. Like, all of it was worked out. The only question was whether or not DeMar DeRozan would sign or not.
Sure.
And so that's where I do agree with you that it is truly, it feels like a free agent signing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was able to ask him yesterday about that, Monty McNair and DeMar DeRozan about, you know, there is a stigma in Sacramento about free agent signing here.
Mm-hmm.
There has been forever. I mean, again, we can talk about George Hill. We can talk about Vlade Divac. People want to bring up Malik Monk. Like, look, Malik Monk was a league minimum player.
That's it.
And
yeah.
And the Kings signed him to a 2-year, $19 million deal. I mean, sure, that's a nice quality deal for him, but that's who he was when they brought him in.
Yeah.
And so when you look at the level of player that you just got, we're talking about a 6-time All-Star. We're talking about a 3-time All-NBA selection. We're talking about a guy who's averaged over 20 points per game, 11 consecutive seasons. To land one of those guys, even at the age of 34, it doesn't matter.
Nope.
This is a highly, highly effective, very good basketball player that typically is out of the reach of the Sacramento Kings as a free agent destination.
Yeah, and you like you said, you asked Monty McNair and DeMar DeRozan about that yesterday. We'll hear that sound here in just a second. But I just want to, just real quick on the, like you said, people bring up Vlade. And Vlade was obviously incredibly impactful and super meaningful to what the Kings did in the late 90s and the early 2000s. That is undeniable. But he had never, the one quote unquote award to his name at that point in his career through his first, 9 seasons, he finished 9th in most improved player voting in the 94-95 season.
Wow.
Like that's it. This is not a 3-time All-NBA guy, not a 6-time, 7-time All-Star. Seven-time All-Star?
Six-time
All-Star, 3-time All-NBA, top 3 in clutch player of the year voting the last 2 years. Like he's just a different level of player, and I think that's why you saw a lot of the pomp and circumstance yesterday. And it's also why, James, you asked Monty McNair and DeMar DeRozan about just kind of that stigma. And here's what they had to say. This is via the Kings beat and ESPN 1320.
Yeah, I think, like I said, it's, you know, I don't know, for us personally, you know, that's just our job. But I think for the organization, for somebody of DeMar's stature, look, when you're a free agent, you get to choose where you go. And for somebody like that to choose our team, I think it just speaks to what we're building here. And, you know, this is a great city. It's a great organization. We have incredible fans. But number one, we've been winning. You know, I think us and Denver, the only two teams that have won 46 or more in the West the last 2 years. It's an incredibly tough West, but, you know, hopefully that's part of what DeMar saw here and that we can have, you know, even bigger dreams in the future.
Yeah, DeMar, sort of the same question. Just what is it about this fit that you felt like, okay, I'm willing to take a gamble where so many other players in the past haven't?
How many times I've seen that beam lit up when I was chilling at home, you know, especially being on Central Time, you know, me watching, I watch every NBA game. So, like I said, you're just always seeing something lit up. It's like, damn, what's the significance of pushing this button, you know? But like I said, winning solves all. And that's one thing I always express to guys that I play with that, you know, want to be all-stars, want to get paid, blah, blah, blah. Everything that winning solves everything. You know, you want to be a part of winning. You want to be a winner. You want to be known as a winner. So for me, that's just, you know, that's the most appealing thing for me. You know, you see it every single night when this team plays. It's all about winning.
So that was DeMar DeRozan and Monty McNair. Again, that's via the Kings beat. Shout out to you, James, for gutting it out yesterday and heading down to the presser. Just real quick on the aside from the whole winning aspect of this, because that just kind of confirms what you and I talked about a little bit yesterday. If this was the 2018 Sacramento Kings, they're not getting DeMar DeRozan. He's signing for the mid-level with the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just kind of the reality of this. Even if the Kings had thrown, you know, 3 years and $74 million at him, $75 million, but I guess it's between those two. But I don't know that he would have come to Sacramento even 5 years ago.
No, I totally agree. And I've been around this team forever, and I always heard this from them inside. Like, look, winning cures all.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
It does.
Just wait. Once we win, it'll cure everything. All of this noise will go away. You know, the way that people view DeMarcus Cousins will be different. The way that mm-hmm. they view De'Aaron Fox will be different. And I said, okay, that's fine, but you have like an untested theory, right? Because mm-hmm. you guys don't win and you've never been able to win. Mm-hmm. And so until you can win and you can show me that actually means something, then I don't know that that's the fact.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you have a player who comes in who, again, normally you wouldn't. Again, if you're looking at 30-year-old DeMar DeRozan, number one, you can't afford him. You know, he's making 40. Mm-hmm. He's not making 24 or 25. But number two, like, you're getting a guy who probably looks at this as a way that, like, he doesn't have to ease into what's next, but he certainly understands that this team is well built and that he won't have to carry a team every single night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably something that's a little bit more appealing to him at mm-hmm. age 34, where, like, look, just all the pressure of carrying a team mm-hmm. isn't going to be focused just on him. You have right. Fox, you have Demonis, you have Monk, you've got Keegan Murray, you've got all these other pieces. And that's probably a good thing, too. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I think it's a good moment for the Kings. And it's one of those moments where, like, look, yeah, I guess. It was right. Like, winning does cure all.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's see if you can win more.
Right. That's just kind of it. And I think that's where when the excitement of the offseason kind of wears off, that's what it's going to come down to now. Is now there to me, there's not going to be like, well, Malik Monk was out and, you know, it was the second year and they're still gelling. Like, nah, now's the time. It's go time. And winning to this point has been great, but now it needs to continue at a higher level than it was.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I would even say that the fit thing, when it comes to fit, DeMar DeRozan was very clear. Like,
mm-hmm.
like, look, he's been in the league a long time. He knows how to fit with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to adapt his game and to learn the offense and to study. And he talked about it in that clip. He watches every basketball game.
Which,
like, he knows what he's getting into.
I'm calling BS.
I don't think so?
He watches every single basketball game that's played through an entire season. He's got film to watch. He's got practice to go to. He's got sleep to get. He's got games to play. I'm calling shenanigans that he watches every single NBA game.
Hey, I do know that there are people out there that do watch every single game.
Yeah,
whether they watch it like at one and a half time speed
yeah.
or yeah, so like whatever, but they are watching games all the time.
Yeah.
He's a hooper. That's exactly. what he is. That's what he, you know, he loves the game, and that I think that comes through with his messaging.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And that's why I obviously tongue-in-cheek on the watching every NBA game thing. Maybe he does, because I know that players get access to film, and they can watch the, like, condensed version of games where you can get an entire NBA game in 28 minutes or however long it is. But I overall was impressed by the way he just kind of comported himself yesterday. I think it was pretty genuine. This was not, because I was what I was watching for, frankly, was, hey, did the Kings just offer this guy the most money and he knows that this is his last chance to get a real contract and he just kind of took the big contract? And that didn't come through to me at all. Like, that worry was assuaged almost immediately. I genuinely think that he likes what's being built here, and I think he genuinely wants to be a part of it, and he thinks that he can help this team ascend to a level that they could not get to last year. And I really think he's going to help them do that. You know, fit aside, somebody said this yesterday in the chatty house, and I couldn't agree more with them. And I wish I could remember who it was. If this was you, please step forward and say so. This is a guy who played for Greg Popovich.
Mm-hmm.
He did not go down to San Antonio with Greg Popovich and go, "No, I'm playing my way." Like, that's just not how it goes in San Antonio. So I don't expect that to be an issue. I think he's going to be a perfectly fine fit.
Yeah, and if you needed to know any more that he's all in, he wore a poofy vest with Monty on a 110-degree day.
Yeah. It was Logan Colston who said that on Monday. Shout out to Logan. Salute. Appreciate you listening. Dude, the outfits yesterday, I know this. Everyone's been talking about this. Insane. This is not his first time in Sacramento. He was in Sacramento. What day was that? Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
It was like 114 on Saturday.
It was so hot.
Like, you knew what you were getting into. What was with that outfit? It was I don't even mind the long pants. Some people are not shorts people. Some people are like, I will wear jeans or chinos or joggers or whatever 365 days a year. Don't begrudge you. That's fine. But the hoodie? Okay, maybe he's got the hoodie on because he's going to be inside. Maybe he doesn't like being cold. Maybe it's cold in that building, so he brought a hoodie. He's layering. That's fine. But then the vest to me, I don't know if that was a bit with Monty, where he was like, I'm going to wear a vest because Monty's wearing a vest. Or if that was a matter of, like, this hoodie's not coming off. I'm layering with the vest. This is completing this outfit. Either way,
it was a clean look.
It looks great. No shade at the look. It was a great look for, like, December 9th, not July 9th. That's insane. Clean it up, dude.
I agree. Figure it out.
I have major concerns about his decision making now. Now we've blown through the break, James. We're just going now.
All right.
Yeah, no, we blew through it a while ago.
Okay.
No, I overall, again, winning a press conference, losing a press conference doesn't frankly matter. But if there was any concern, like I said, about why he's here or the fit here or whatever it is. To me, that went away yesterday. And also, I think he got some really good insight into what DeMar DeRozan is or who DeMar DeRozan is as a person. I think this reflects on how he will be as a teammate. But the fact that after his press conference, he went and had sit downs with basically anybody who wanted one. He had one-on-one chats with everybody.
He had one-on-ones with probably 10 different media outlets, everyone. And some media outlets got two people. I didn't go over because I'm sick. So yeah. I didn't go over, but outside of that, everybody got time with him.
Yeah.
And that's something that, San Antonio guys that were in town told me, like, man, he doesn't say no to media. He's one of the best, in the locker room that you can possibly come by. And he's a guy that's always going to give you time.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty rare. And it wasn't like a handshake and a hello, nice to meet you. It was like sit down interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, 5-6 minutes, whatever it was. That's super rare that a player is willing to do that. So shout out to DeMar DeRozan and shout out to all the media friendly players out there. It is deeply appreciated. All right, let's shift gears. We got news this morning that Kawhi Leonard is withdrawing from Team USA. It was part of a decision that he made with the Clippers and with Team USA. He has continued swelling in his knee, so he is not going to participate in the Summer Olympics. He is going to sit out and get ready for next season. Look, I don't want to get into whether he's how hurt he is or whether he should be sitting or should not be sitting. That is up to him. He knows his body. He is in tune with his body. It is his decision to play or not play. And it sounds like the Clippers might have had a little bit of a say in that, but I'm sure the Clippers talked to their doctors and everybody just kind of decided this was not a good idea. So I'm not going to begrudge him. I'm just kind of out on Kawhi Leonard as an impactful superstar at this point. And
yeah,
I'm
with you.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I've kind of been in that sort of realm for like the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he won the title. And since then, even before then, you know, he had taken the year where he was fighting with the organization over an injury that they couldn't find, and he kept saying hurt. You know, he sat out like most of a year. This has kind of been who he's become. And I don't want to say he's unreliable, but to a certain degree, that's what he is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was able to play a bunch of games in the regular season this year, but then when it came down to it in the playoffs, he wasn't able to go. And, you know, I don't want to say that this is like, are you injured or are you hurt type deal? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we just know who he is. And the fact that you included him on a Team USA roster, I thought was questionable at the time. Mm-hmm. And you can put him as one of the greats of this era, but I really do think that like his legacy as a player has taken a pretty good beating. You know, he stopped being a really high level functional player that you can depend on about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. So, yeah, it opens a door for someone else to come in and play. But, you know, we also saw Kevin Durant like tweaked a calf muscle, and he's still willing to play. He still wants to be there. Mm-hmm. And Team USA is really interesting. If you burn them, if you walk away from them, if you decide not to go stick around for a summer, mm-hmm. they're done with you. And we've seen it with De'Aaron Fox. We've seen it with other players. But they like to go back to players that they've used that have been on the roster time and time again. Mm-hmm. It's why Harrison Barnes got another opportunity to go win gold a couple of years ago. It's why we're going to see Derek White likely take a step onto that team. Mm-hmm. That's a pop guy, and he's a guy who's going to get an opportunity here. And it's because he's put in the time and the energy to be part of their program.
Yeah, man. And the thing with Kawhi, you said something there like dependability. And that's the issue, because we saw Kawhi through stretches of this season look like an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
Where he's shooting like 60, 50, 90. Like he would go on these tears where you look at it and you go, man, like Kawhi really is. And then you look at what he did winning a title with San Antonio. He goes to Toronto. He gets them their first title and wins finals MVP in both cases. He's this two-way just juggernaut of a player.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm with you. The legacy thing taking a hit, it's because of that dependability. It's not because he's not good anymore. I don't think anybody does. Like, that's why Team USA took him in. Because, yeah, hey, if Kawhi is going to play, you will take Kawhi Leonard on your team 1,000 times every time. So 1,000 times out of 1,000. just 50% of the time works every time. But that's why they wanted him on their team. Because, like, yeah, hey, Kawhi is still a player who can go get you, like, 25, 8, and 6 and play good defense, maybe not at the level he used to, but he's still a really high level defender. But it's that dependability, man. I think if anyone was betting, if they had odds on Kawhi Leonard finishing the Olympics, I'm guessing they would have been pretty even. And I think if you had odds on whether he would even play in the Olympics, they probably would have tilted toward no, because that's just kind of what he is at this point. And I'm going to be interested to see in Kawhi Leonard's career, does he go down as a what if? Does he go down in the Bo Jackson vein, in the I know there's a million of them and now I can't think of any. But Mickey Mantle is another one who dealt with injuries. He was obviously great, a Hall of Famer, but he dealt with some injury stuff that maybe held him back from being, you know, even greater than he was. Pick your favorite what if. I think I'm interested to see if Kawhi goes down in that vein, where you go, man, he was really good, and then he just had those knee injuries and he just couldn't overcome it. Or is it, hey, man, Kawhi Leonard just did not want to gut it out and play through these injuries and stick around and try and see what he could give in the playoffs or in the Olympics. I am fascinated to see how that goes down. Not with us, not with you and me and with people in the chatty house and people listening on ESPN 1320 or whoever. I'm interested to see how that goes down with future generations who maybe weren't there for the Kawhi dominance. People who are, you know, 15, 16 years old now, who maybe don't really remember what he was like in San Antonio and then that year with Toronto. I'm fascinated to see how that goes down for him over the next 10 or 15 years, because it's going to be really, really interesting.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This is one of those players. I mean, people bring up in the chatty house, Penny Hardaway and Grant
really
Hill.
Yep, two really
good ones. And I would say he's more Penny than he is Grant Hill. Grant Hill had major ankle surgeries again and again, could never figure out how to shake the true like injury. Mm-hmm. Where Penny Hardaway was the guy who had some injuries, but was more of a question mark. Like, mm-hmm. is he going to play? Is he not going to play? Stories about him throughout his career were just kind of like, all right, is he really focused? Is this something he wants to do? Or is it just, he wants to be known as a basketball player. Mm-hmm. You know, and then Brandon Roy is another good, Rustog brings up, Brandon Roy.
Yeah. Really?
That's a guy who just really had his career, like ended short with knee injuries. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Greg Oden to an extent as well, just never really got his career off the ground because of injuries. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think Kawhi is going to ultimately wind up falling in that bucket where you go, man, his peak was incredible, but it was super short because he just couldn't stay on the court, particularly couldn't stay on the court in meaningful games, in the playoffs, in the Olympics. And I think you kind of see it hold a team back. I think the Clippers, if they could go back, would not do his contract.
I agree with you. Like, I mean, if you had to choose Paul George or him, I would have taken Paul George.
It's not even a question for me. And I know that Steve Ballmer is probably fine with Kawhi skipping the Olympics because they're opening their new Intuit Dome down there in Inglewood, and you want to have a superstar on the court and you want to be competitive. But man, if that superstar may or may not be playing, you have 41 home games. If he may or may not be playing in those games, and may or may not be playing if you make the playoffs, that's a really tough proposition, especially when you just lost Paul George because of it.
Yeah, and Paul George is way more Hollywood. He's a local kid, mm-hmm. and on top of that, he's got his media career that he's doing on the side. He's way more Hollywood, and for them to choose to go the Kawhi route over Paul George, I think they're going to regret that.
I do too.
But also, like, look, this is who Kawhi has been for a long time, and we just have to like accept that. We can't expect more out of him because this is who he is as a player.
Dude, Kawhi, I was just thinking about this because you just said, Kawhi, this is who he's been for a long time. And this is crazy to me. His final season in San Antonio was 2017-18. And I know that makes sense because he won the title with the Raptors in 19. So that that was so long ago that he had mm-hmm. his injury stuff with the Spurs, and then it has never really plateaued. It's never come down. It just kind of plateaued. Like, he's just since that 2017-18 season where he played 9 games, he's just kind of been, the injury stuff has been a problem. He played 60 games in 18-19. Then there's the pandemic season. He played 57 in 19-20 and then 52 in 20 and 21. And in there, he's getting top 10 MVP finishes. He's second team all defense. He's second team all NBA. He's an all-star. He's top 10 defensive player of the year. But it's that, like you said, it's that dependability. I don't think there's anyone questioning whether Kawhi is still a high-level player. It's just for how many games. He played 68 games this year and then didn't play in the playoffs. Like, what's the point?
Absolutely destroyed his team by not playing in the playoffs.
That's really tough.
Like, crushing. Yeah. Crushing for them.
All right. Long first segment, but we're going to break now because we can't, we have to now. We can't blow through another one. So we're going to break now. We'll continue talking about Team USA. They actually open up their exhibition slate against Canada. We'll talk about who's going to replace Kawhi Leonard. And then I'm sick of hearing this about the 49ers, and I'll tell you what it is next on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader, he's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Be back in a second.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
DeMar DeRozan has officially been introduced. Talked a little bit about that earlier, but now we're on to Team USA, where Kawhi Leonard has dropped out. Further, I don't want to say damaging his legacy, but I think stunting it. Like, he's going to go down as an all-time great. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. I don't think there's any question about that. But I think that at some point, longevity, especially in this era with Chris Paul and Steph Curry and LeBron James and DeMar DeRozan, pick your favorite player who's over 35 and still making all-star teams. Having a player like Kawhi Leonard who's in that group, who just consistently can't be healthy enough to participate in things like the Olympics or the playoffs, I think he's going to, his what his legacy could have been just feels, what it's going to be feels minuscule compared to what it could have been.
And that's, I totally agree with that. Yeah. Now, whether, you know, like how we view him, 10 years from now.
Yeah.
You're probably right. He's going to be a what if player.
Yeah.
A guy like Ralph Sampson, where you're just like, the potential was so good, but you know, injuries and everything else. I think Kawhi will be known as, again, this is just one last like mark against him as the guy that you can't depend on in crucial situations, and it's unfortunate because he's a hell of a player.
He will be replaced. So this was initially reported by The Athletic that Derek White was on track to replace Kawhi Leonard. And then Mark Spears from ESPN reported later that he will be the replacement for Derek White. Derek White will be Kawhi Leonard's replacement on Team USA. How? Is that a downgrade? Are we certain that's like a significant downgrade for Team USA?
I don't think it is, because I think when you build Team USA rosters now,
yeah,
it's so much about like the famous people and trying to like reenact the 1992 Dream Team.
Sure.
It's always so much about that. And a lot of times you need players like Derek White who just come in and do all the dirty work mm-hmm. and aren't worried about things like legacy or being, you know, part of a dream team. Like, I think mm-hmm. for Derek White, this is going to be like the biggest accomplishment outside of winning a title. But like of his life, he's going to be like, oh my gosh, I get to be on the Olympic team. We could win gold. I think there's going to be an appreciation there mm-hmm. that maybe some of the star level players don't have. Mm-hmm. And so I think he's a perfect fit. He's a defender. He plays within, you know, the role that you ask him to play. Mm-hmm. He'll do all the dirty work and in European play. I think he's going to be really, really good fit for that team.
Yeah. And I want to clarify here in case anybody doesn't get the joke. I don't think Derek White is a better player than Kawhi Leonard, but it's what you just said, what they need from the role, like this is Steph Curry, LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, Drew Holiday. Like, this team is so loaded that having a player like Derek White, who may not play a ton, but when he does, mm-hmm. you feel comfortable having him defend 1 through 3. He's a good rebounder. He's a good shooter. He can spot up in the corner. He can put the ball on the deck a little bit. Like, he's a really, really solid player. And I don't think that this is like I said, Kawhi's a better player, just in a vacuum. But for what Team USA is going to need out of that role, I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. I do think the Jaylen Brown aspect of this is interesting, that they went with Derek White instead of Jaylen Brown, and I would love to know why.
Yeah, that's a tough one, right? Because if you're going to do a star-studded team, then you should probably stick with a star-studded team thing. You shouldn't take on a guy who, like, again, Derek White's a heck of a player,
mm-hmm.
but he's not Jaylen Brown. And so if it kind of does feel a little disingenuous, but again, remember, Team USA is very much about how long you've been with the program, how many times you've sacrificed your summer for them, mm-hmm. what you've done for them as a whole. And if Derek White's track record with Team USA is longer,
mm-hmm.
Then he's going to get the nod, and that makes sense.
Yeah, man, and that's I suppose, and I don't know if there's some politics that's happening here behind the scenes with Team USA. I don't know. But the fact that Jaylen Brown tweeted out it was 3 emojis. It's the monocle emoji. I thought that was interesting. Maybe this is Steve Kerr and Co's plan to sow dissension with the Celtics.
There you go.
this is it's doing it. Jason Kidd, this is how it's done. I like the pickup for Team USA. And I love the come up for Derek White, who shaved his head bald. He came home, which he's needed to do for 4 years. He came home. He has the best year of his career. He wins a title, and now he gets to go be an Olympian. I think that's super dope, and it's a huge win for the bald community. And that's, frankly, selfishly, what I'm here for. Shout out to the bald gang.
That's right. You can make these wild, outlandish claims. I cannot.
Mm.
It's fun.
Yeah. All right. I want to shift gears to football real quick, and we'll get back to basketball, yeah. I promise. We got training camp starting about for the 49ers. They report, veterans report to camp 2 weeks from yesterday. So we're inside of the 2 week range until training camp starts. And I was perusing ESPN today, and I saw an article from Bill Barnwell,
mm-hmm.
Very smart football mind. I have much respect for Bill Barnwell, and I don't even necessarily disagree with his take here. He ranked the wide receiver, running back, tight end position for each team. So basically the offensive playmakers for each team. Took out quarterback, took out offensive line. It's just those three positions, running back, wide receiver, tight end. And he ranked the 49ers group of Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle as number one in the league. And this comes on the heels of ESPN ranking the 49ers roster as the number one overall roster in the league. Pro Football Focus did the exact same thing. And dude, as I was reading this, because I'm going to aggregate it at NinersWire.com, But as I was reading this, I'm so tired of hearing about how good the 49ers are. Honestly, like I'm really sick of it. Because we've heard this. We didn't hear it in 2019. In 2019, they were a little bit, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but they had had a bunch of injury stuff. They hadn't proven that they were any good yet. So 2019 was definitely a little bit of a surprise. They were disappointing in 2020. But then 2021, they were supposed to be good. They fell short. 2022, supposed to be good. They fell short. 2023, supposed to be good. They fell short. And I say fell short of like winning a Super Bowl trophy. And I know that only one team wins. And I don't want to, it's not an abject failure by the 49ers organization that they didn't win a Super Bowl in the last 3 years. But I'm really sick of reading the preseason prognostication of like, look at how freaking good the 49ers are. Like, cool, man. Can they win one? Can they beat Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? Are they going to be able to keep up with the Lions and the Packers and all these teams that are coming up behind it? The Rams, the Seahawks, I think the Cardinals are going to be okay this year. Are you be able to stay ahead of them? Are they better than the Ravens even? Can they beat the Bills head to head? Like I still have so many questions. I'm so tired about reading like, oh, look at how good this 49ers team is. Like, cool, great. I don't care anymore. go win a Super Bowl, man.
Yeah, they are paper champions. And that's not something you want to be. We can say this
2024 offseason champs again.
I mean, the Los Angeles Clippers have been paper champions for years. Everyone just thought they would be. Yeah. And, you know, it's tough. Everyone thinks that they're going to be that team. And more often than not, they fall short. And you got to figure it out.
Yeah, man. I think it's objectively good. You would rather have a good roster than a bad one. You're welcome. That's why you listen to The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's better to have good players than bad ones. But I think that I don't want to say it's being ignored, but A, they just lost the Super Bowl. Going back to the Super Bowl after losing it is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know exactly what they have at quarterback yet. And it's just there are so many question marks, and I get why. Like you can't say, well, the Niners roster is actually not that good because they haven't won a title. It's just it's that preseason discussion point. It's funny, and I think the reason it sticks out to me is because we do a lot of Kings and a lot of 49ers here on this radio station, and it's the juxtaposition of those two conversations. I'm sick of hearing about how good the 49ers are. But on the same hand, I'm sick of the just generalization of the Kings because that's the Sacramento Kings, that's just what they are. And the refusal to like acknowledge, like, yeah, hey, you know what? DeMar DeRozan made them better. They're on the fringe of the playoffs last year. Their roster is better now. And so that's it. Instead, you get like, oh, this is how does he fit? And this and that. The contrast there is I think one of the reasons the 49ers thing sticks out so much to me is because with the Kings, we don't necessarily see the level of praise that maybe they do or they deserve. But at the same time, it drives home to me like, hey, frankly, the preseason stuff, we talked about this a little bit yesterday with that clip from Around the Horn and Courtney Cronin talking about the Kings, just kind of writing off the DeMar DeRozan signing. It's not always a good thing to be that off-season paper champ. I guess better just go do it on the court, man. And that's I get why there's frustration with Sacramento of not getting the praise. But, dude, the 49ers have been getting praise, and they have zero to show for it. It means zero. Zilch.
I totally agree.
Man.
Yeah, because we don't know what this team is going to be, the Sacramento Kings. We have no idea what it's going to be.
Nope.
We can prognosticate that they'll be a top five team or a top six team, but until they start playing the games, we have no idea. And, like, I would rather not know. I would rather have, like, I'd rather do everything, like, if I'm a general manager in my power to make sure that I give myself the best chance to win.
Sure.
That I add as much talent as possible,
yeah,
which is what the 49ers do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, like it really does come down to how they all meld in together and play together once the games start. So I would like to tell Kings fans that this was the biggest move ever, I think it's a great move. But until we watch it on the court and we see how it all plays out and we get to March and April, we won't know how good this team is and what their chances are of being better than the team, not last year, but maybe the year before.
I think the other side of this, not the other side of this coin, but I guess totally different coin, is the Kings are still, so there's the steps to take to getting to become a contender, right? But then there's the fan angle of that. And there's that, like, the come up, the rise. And that's like the most fun part. Like, the Kings lost in the first round 2 years ago, but how fun was that season? And even last year, a little disappointing, but you know what? Hey, they were in the play-in tournament. That win against the Warriors at Golden 1 Center was a ton of fun. And they lose to the Pelicans in the play-in, but yeah, you know what? Hey, they were still there. And now that's a DeMar DeRozan. Now the anticipation is still there. There's still that excitement of like, yes, the regular season, where can this team go? Because like you said, it's still a relative unknown, but man, you're really excited about the rise. The ascension is still there. There's room for growth. With the 49ers, they're like hitting their heads on this ceiling. And it's like, all right, get through the ceiling or go away. Like, I don't, it's almost like I'm really looking forward to the Kings this year and what they're going to do. And then with the 49ers, it's like, I don't frankly care about the 17 regular season games.
Or the first three playoff games. It's all about what happens in the last one.
Yeah, dude, everything. And that's not to say they're definitely going to the Super Bowl. In fact, it's kind of the opposite. It's just like anything shy of winning a Super Bowl at this point is going to be, I said to this point, it has not been a failure of the organization. Like, they've been really good. Every team in the NFL would love to go to 4 out of 5 NFC title games and go to 2 Super Bowls in that stretch, regardless of whether they win the Super Bowl or not. Every team in the league would take that. Except maybe the Chiefs, because they're the ones hoisting all the trophies. But it's not to say that it's been a failure there. But I do think when this the clock is kind of winding down on this core in San Francisco, you're going, man, this is probably their last shot with this specific group of players, with Deebo Samuel, with Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, Fred Warner, Nick Bosa, all those guys. Like, this is probably their last shot to get one. And if they don't this year, it's, man.
No, it's tough. It's a tough look.
So, anyways, we'll have more football coming up over the next couple of weeks. Like I said, training camp. No training camp dates released just yet for the 49ers or any team. But once those are out, we'll get you ready for the 49ers season, the Raiders season. The Raiders should be a lot of fun. I'm a big Gardner Minshew guy. What do you want from me? That's just going to be the thing all year. I'm big on Gardner Minshew. And once we have training camp dates, we'll start diving in further to the 49ers and the Las Vegas Raiders. Zach Edey was a topic of discussion on this radio station at Tom's Watch Bar at our at our NBA draft party. And there was not a chasm, not a rift. There was a disagreement about whether Zach Edey would have been a quality pick for the Kings. And I don't want to relitigate that argument. You know, it is, you're on whatever side you're on. And then he goes out and has 14 and 15 with an assist and 4 blocks in his preseason debut. It's like, oh, that's kind of interesting. But like you said, it's summer league. Are these guys outside of Walker Kessler who are playing for the Jazz, how many of them are really going to be in the NBA and certainly be effective NBA players? So what did we really learn about Zach Edey? Well, let me tell you this. He is at some sports books now, James, the betting favorite to win the Rookie of the Year.
Wow. I think that speaks volumes about the 2024 NBA class. It does. The draft class is odd. And it's going to be all over the board. He's going to get minutes. I think we know that, but I wouldn't have him as a betting favorite. I wouldn't take that bet. We had a watch party to watch the national championship game at Tom's Watch Bar as well. Mm-hmm. And that game just stood out. Like, I don't know how he's going to get played off the court in so many games.
Feels like
he's got height. He's got, you know, length. He's one of those guys that, you know, I think it's close to an 8-foot wingspan, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a tremendously huge human being. But at the end of the day, Like, can he move his feet? Can he defend anyone on the perimeter at all?
Mm-hmm.
Can he defend in the pick and roll? You're not allowed to just stand under the basket at the NBA level mm-hmm. and try to block shots every time. And the other thing he'll learn is that true NBA players, once you get to the league, they're so much faster and athletic, and the length of players finishing around the rim, it's just really, really difficult for a player who doesn't have elite quickness. And it's something that, you know, we talked about in Amias Keita. Mm-hmm. Keita, you know, averaged like 3.5 blocks a game in college. He gets to the pros and it's like, okay, man, you got 6 fouls
mm-hmm.
and you played 12 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
Like that's what's going to be really difficult for Zach Edey. He's going to mm-hmm. try to block shots. He's going to hit players. They're going to draw fouls on him that he's not used to getting called.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to have a tough time adapting if he ever does adapt. And so, like, I think it's interesting that he's moving up. But again, friends don't let friends watch summer league basketball and make prognostications. That's just the same thing with NFL.
Here's where I land on the summer league thing. And then I want to talk about these odds because I went to our friends at BetMGM and checked it out. But my whole summer league thing, and I say this about the preseason too. I'm not projecting that Zach Edey is going to average 14 and 15 with 4 blocks this year. That's insane. That would be nuts. On the other hand, I think if you go out and you dominate that lesser competition and you look like an NBA player in that level of competition, like that bodes well for you moving forward. It's the same mm-hmm. thing in football in OTAs. You see all the OTA videos from around the league of rookies and, oh, look at this catch and look at this defensive play and this and that. But it doesn't really matter for sure. But how do you acquit yourself in those settings and can you set yourself up to take that step forward in the next step, in training camp, in the preseason? So I think Zach Edey is positioning himself nicely. On the other hand, I think I'm kind of with you, not because I think he's going to be a bad player. He's going to be fine, actually. But I do wonder how many minutes he's going to play this year. And in those minutes, is he going to be able to put up the counting stats necessary to be in the Rookie of the Year conversation? He is plus 700 right now at BetMGM. That's second behind Alex Saar at plus 600. Then you've got Zachary Risache at plus 800. And if you're not familiar, plus 600 means $100 bet wins you $600. So Zachary Risache is plus 800. Dalton Connect at plus 900. And I'm going to give you the top five, then ask you a question. Stephon Castle rounds out the top five at plus 1,000. If I gave you those five players at pick the odds at plus 500 that one of them is going to win it, or the rest of the class at plus 500, what side are you leaning?
I'm taking the field.
I think I am too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. And you know, like somebody brought up the point, and I was going to bring it up, and then it popped up here in the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Adonis Arms put up, 32?
32. Yeah, it was great.
32. Like, but you're not instantly going out there and buying a jersey and signing him to a multi-year contract.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's summer league, and the California Classic is even like a preview of summer league.
Yeah,
it's the summer league before the summer league. And remember, the Kings have
preseason.
A split squad. They've got probably 25-30 players between the two rosters, like here for summer league. So that tells you that it's not just, you're not just playing against guys who might not be NBA players. You're playing against a lot of guys who aren't mm-hmm. going to be NBA players. And maybe a guy like Adonis Arms is able to work his way into the league after mm-hmm. some really strong showings here, right? But it's also possible that we don't hear from him, that he's a G League guy, and that's just the harsh reality of the league.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many roster spots. All of these hard caps and aprons mm-hmm. and all that stuff make life really difficult for these players mm-hmm. to get into the league. And if you're not a top-tier first-round pick who has at least 2 years guaranteed on your deal when you come in the door,
mm-hmm.
it's tough to stick in the league. And it's tough to break into the league And so we'll have to wait and see. But again, I would take the field against the players you mentioned, because I guarantee you, like, someone that between 10 and 20 is going to be way better than we expect. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the guys in the top 10 in this draft are not going to be very good.
Yeah, man. It really feels that way. I think with the thing with Summer League, and again, like any preseason, whether it's spring training or training camp or NFL preseason or whatever it is, I think you like take notes. You don't draw conclusions.
Yes.
And so like Adonis Arms, 32 points. He passed the heck out of the ball. Like just kind of looked really good in that first game. Not as great in the second game. But like, okay, you kind of take note of Adonis Arms. A, because he has a great name, obviously. But B, just that's kind of interesting production. That's noteworthy. Let's see how it plays out in Summer League. And if he continues to just really dominate and he's averaging 27 and 6 and just looks incredible, okay, then let's start to talk it out. But I think until you get into a NBA setting around NBA players and are productive, I think, yeah, it's just all... It's interesting. It's fun because there's no basketball going on, so this is what we got. But like I said, not drawing too many conclusions for Summer League. All right, we got the second hour coming up. Charlie O, our boss, is going to come in. He actually wants to talk a little bit about the Cal Classic. He's got a little bit of a gripe that he wants to get to. So we'll hear from him. We'll have good idea or bad idea coming up. And then I had a take that nobody here liked, but I feel vindicated. I'm going to tell you what it is on ESPN 1320. We are Sacramento Sports Leader. This is The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.